First and 10 at his own 42, takes the snap. Play action fake. Drops, looking, over the middle, throws. It's tipped and picked. Intercepted at the 50-yard line and knocked out at the 49. So the pick is made by Dansby. He picks it with his right hand, scoops it up, and takes it back to the Denver 49-yard line.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns did a good job with their drops in the middle of the field. Two interceptions, one from Dansby, one from Barkevious Mingo in that zone drop coverage. And they did a good job right there. By the way, Peyton Manning has now thrown four interceptions in the last 2 weeks alone to defenders 33 years or older.
Wow. Fun stat.
Two to Dansby. Two to Chuck Wood. Up to no good. All right. 216-578-0850. We'll go back to the phone lines now and keep it going here on CBD. This Reaction Monday. Joe in Illinois. Joe, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, been better, man.
Yeah, well, that's true. Hey, here's the only thing I really have to say. I'm from Central Illinois, so I don't always get to watch the games, but I'm usually, you know, on the NFL mobile app or something watching the drive chart. And if I see one more little thing that says McCown incompletion to Brian Hartline, I'm going to lose it. Did that dude ever catch a pass? What's going on?
Well, he's not playing a ton, to be fair, to Brian Hartline.
Yesterday he played a lot, 40 reps.
40 snaps,
yesterday. Three targets,
zero catches for Brian Hartline on the day. And, you know, you come in and you look at his season stats right now, and no, they're not very good for Brian Hartline. He and Dwayne Bowe have contributed on this football season not a whole lot to the Cleveland Browns passing attack, which has been incredibly prolific. So, yes, it is a little bit of a struggle for those two. Hartline on the year, 9 catches, 128 yards. Bowe, of course, doesn't have a catch, but when you look at breakdown Hartline, his last big game was Oakland, 96 yards. San Diego, 1 for 7. Baltimore, 1 for 5. Denver, 3 targets, no catches. And he played 46 snaps against Baltimore, 40 against Denver. He got hurt early against San Diego.
Not discounting what he did against the Oakland Raiders, but a lot of that came in the comeback as well.
Yep, in the second half of that game. Other than that game, he's got on the season 4 catches for 32 yards. Dwayne Bowe's got 0. Those guys right now, they're not. When you look at the receivers, there's Travis Benjamin.
Talking about them is like talking about Justin Gilbert. They're doing very little and actually helping us win football games. I know, which is frustrating, but can we just focus on what is actually winning or losing us games?
No, but I'm sure it's frustrating. These would be the two big acquisitions at a position you needed it. The good news is,
we do the show every day. How much air did we fill talking about Bowe and Hartline all offseason?
Quite a bit. Travis Benjamin and Gary Barnage have combined for 941 yards receiving. Okay. Andrew Hawkins, 186. Taylor Gabriel, 147. So you add that up really quickly, you get 333. Brian Hartline, 128. You add that up, you get 461. Marlon Moore, 15, 476. Dre, 20, 496. Malcolm Johnson, 14. So that would put you at 510. And then Housler, 1 for 6. That gives you 516. So Barnage and Benjamin
are the Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, basically. They have a combined 79 targets on the year. But that's still, when you think about the percentages, it's still significantly less. The production's just there, but it's significantly less. We've thrown the ball 188 plus 39, so that would be 227 times they've been the target on about 80 of them.
So less than 33, less than a third.
No, just a little bit more than a third. 240 would be.
Right, 80, you're right. Just
more than a third.
Correct.
Thomas and Sanders, 60%. So more than double that. These guys would have double those target numbers, given how much we've thrown the football.
Yeah. Frustrating, dude.
It is. 216-578-0850. We'll hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns in just a moment. Reg in Youngstown. Reggie, how are you?
Hey, guys. Pretty good. I'd get right to it. I liked everything that you guys are saying. You're kind of taking the thunder out of what I was going to say. But I just go back to what me and you, all of us, have been talking about before, and that is the offensive line, man, and the defensive line. I'm telling you, Matt, them cats stink, man. They stink. The Browns aren't going to be very successful at all until they do something to shake up that line. And one more thing I'd like to say as well, and that's far as the coach. I was all for them getting the coach, the head coach and stuff. But one thing I'm finding with him, it's the same thing. Every time you guys interview him and he's on, he sounds like he's getting ready to cry instead of stepping up to the plate and telling these guys something got to happen. You look at the Steelers coaches and different ones. I don't like the Steelers. I hate the Steelers. But their coach, I really never have liked them. But the coach, one thing the cat do, when them cats ain't playing right, fellas, he tells the public and stuff, it's going to be some changes made. And you can see it in his attitude and how he talks. And that's what our coach don't do, man. This cat got to step up to the plate. He ain't doing it.
Do you, Reg, do you have a suggestion on the defensive line? Are there people that you want to see more of, less of?
They need to start shifting and using some of them other guys. You know what, Matt? I don't know for sure. I can't say for sure that it would make a wholehearted difference. But, man, when we come spent the money we spent on the defense, and these cats, and it's the same thing. Even the guys doing the game yesterday were saying it. Hey, Matt, it's like you might as well put one guy in the middle and put five guys on each side at the end, because these teams are killing us in the middle, I mean, on the ends or on our edges on these runs and stuff. And offensively, Joe Thomas and them cats, to me, they're playing just on reputation, man, because they're not getting it done, Matt. I mean, we can say what we want. They are not doing the job, and our Browns will not win. I think Josh McCown's doing a good job, but he getting killed back there. And then you got Manning. You got Peyton Manning that he can't even run. And they got a couple little hurries on him, you know, on the defense, but they ain't even touch him. Now, Matt, that don't make sense. You a linebacker. You know that don't make sense, man.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And I think in preparation, and thank you very much for the call, Reg, I think in preparation, there are times in a game or things that you think up in a game plan that you know will get home, that you're so confident in. It's not going to be your lead gig. It's at the right time and the right place, just like their linebacker coming free that created the sack force fumble. You caught him in the right protection, on the right down and distance where you brought the pressure and they couldn't block you. And it's just very surprising and frustrating to me that the Cleveland Browns can never do that versus anyone. We're having to work so hard to get some pressures and some hurries. We've now gone, what, the Ravens game with no sacks, the Raiders game with no sacks, and now the Bronco game with no sacks. Correct?
Correct.
And it's just a shock to me. It's just a shock.
We had the big sack explosion against
Tennessee,
and then we had one against Baltimore, Armani Bryant.
Then we had one against the Ravens.
That was it.
None against Phillip Rivers, though, right? I thought we had a couple there. We had none in week one.
Here, we can go game by game on the Browns sacks here. All right. So you said, so we know none in the Broncos. We know none in the Jets. Seven in the Titans. Raiders. We had team stats. You know, and that's been the big question. Not only have we not been getting sacks, we haven't been getting hits on the quarterback either. So you go to the Raiders game, okay, and you look at the hits and the sacks here for the defense. Zero sacks, zero quarterback hits of Derek Carr. That's the Raiders game. We know yesterday was 0-2, right? I believe week one was 0-2.
Yep.
Against the Jets as well. It's their inability to impact negative plays. Phillip Rivers and the Chargers in the game where he threw for a ton of yards in that one. He was sacked two times, so we got the Phillip Rivers twice in that one. Remember the Chris Kirksey blitz early? And in that one, we got four quarterback hits. So that was a better job. And then I know we had the one last week against the Baltimore Ravens when Armonte Bryant was able to get there. And other than that, they did not get the hits on Joe Flacco. In that one, they just had two hits of Joe Flacco. So it's becoming a problem in the sense that not only are you unable to stop the run up front, you're unable to generate organic pressure up front.
Yeah, you can't play complementary football. And I'm not talking about offense and defense, but how much did we talk about our ability to put pressure on the quarterback and allow defensive play on the back end to get covered sacks for us? that type of complimentary football. We got guys that can cover with Hayden and Williams and Gipp and Witt and Kawan, right?
We got that against, you know where we got that? We got that against Marcus Mariota. And last time before that we got was against Jameis Winston in Tampa.
Rookie quarterback.
Right. Derek Carr has been around. Now he's seen this defense twice in his career.
Yep.
And he was not fooled by that. And that is, in large part of the problem. The defense has not been able to get home and make negative plays. We just did the math right there. What was it? 4 sacks and 6 tackles for loss. That's 10 negative plays by their defense. And our defense had
0.
2 tackles for loss.
2 tackles
zero
for loss.
Sacks.
Correct.
So 2 total. Not going to get the job done. When we come back, we're going to hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, right after this on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.